Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
Herbs have been used by people since the dawn of time. When Rockefeller introduced allopathic medicine, many herbal remedies fell by the wayside as people put their faith in prescription pills and the world just gets sicker. Here at Heathen Herbs, we look to the past and to nature for answers. We offer tinctures, magnesium skin cream, lip balm, tooth powder, colloidal silver throat spray, and more. Check us out at heathenherbs.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You've made a serious investment in protecting yourself and your family. You've purchased the gun, the ammunition, the training, and even secured a license to carry in your state. You know the Constitution and don't believe you should have to pay for a right that you already have, as written in the Second Amendment, but you are law-abiding. Now you are considering the legal defense options you should have if you ever have to use a firearm. Self-Defense Fund is a comprehensive litigation membership backing you on appeals, legal expenses, court costs, and more. Up to $1 million per incident and unlimited attorney costs per member. Discover selfdefensefund.com for yourself. Any weapon, any state, any time.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. Just yesterday, National Vanguard published an article by James Harting entitled, "Did National Socialist Germany Ever Surrender?" It sets forth the fact that, technically and legally, the National Socialist German government never surrendered in World War II, and that thus the successor regimes set up on German soil are of no legal validity. The case made by Mr. Harting is irrefutable. The occupation regime is illegal. It doesn't even exist, really. And the introduction to the piece, written by one of our National Vanguard editors, quotes my statement of a few years ago that since World War II isn't over, the good guys can still win it. The quote-unquote government in Berlin today, therefore, ought to be of no more legal force than a comic opera king's, and no German ought to obey it, and no foreign state ought to recognize it. But a commenter, Thomas Cole, brings us back to practical reality, and this applies to every society, not just Germany, when he states, quote, "Paper means nothing. Ideas mean nothing. deeds mean everything. Close quote. In other words, the men with guns who get salaries and pensions from the system, the men in black robes and suits who interpret and make the system's so-called laws, and who also get salaries and pensions from the system, do not care if the system is legal or not. Do not care about your legal arguments that all its laws are of no legitimate standing. Do not care what words written on any piece of paper, including any constitution, say or mean, and are simply going to get their gun-toting, pension-loving goons to shackle you and imprison you if you cause too much trouble. And they can do this because they control the money spigots, and you do not. Therefore, the goons obey them and not you. And they can do this because they are confident that no one is going to challenge their gun-toting goons in kind and make the goons stand down or suffer loss of life. And they are equally sure that we, the people, are weak-willed, poorly armed, and disorganized, and that therefore they stand little chance of having their own blood spilled either. This is one reason why the buffoonery of 6 January 2021 really worried them. It shook their confidence at least a little bit that the people would never decide to punish them for their crimes. In other words, they've got mercenaries, soldiers, police, U.S. Marshals, whatever, to be their men of deeds for them. And they believe that we have no men of deeds on our side yet, at least not enough to make a difference. As in Germany, so in America. There is plenty of evidence that the regime in Washington is illegal too. How could a central government that arrested the legislature of Maryland because they were about to vote wrongly, as Abraham Lincoln's government once did, have any legitimacy at all? How could any statute enacted by such a tyranny be valid after that? How then can any federal law since 1861, or any state or local law that acknowledges such federal laws, be valid? They are obviously no laws at all, just pretended laws. How could a government that breaks its own rules routinely, as the whole political system that put President Biden in the White House did 1,000 times at least, have any validity? Aren't all of the laws it enacts just fake laws, pretended laws of no effect whatever? How could a U.S. government based on the 14th and subsequent 2 amendments, which were obviously forced on the southern states by military occupation governments, under which almost all citizens were disenfranchised, possibly be legal? How can any law passed by such a government be a real law? And that includes every single federal law since the 1870s and even earlier. How can any Supreme Court interpretation based on those illegally passed amendments be valid? How can even the appointment of the justices who made those decisions have been valid? They are obviously pretended justices serving on a pretended court, the Supreme Court of a whole illegitimate system of pretended courts, trying and imprisoning people with no more authority than your neighbor across the street would have if he started arresting, trying, and imprisoning people. And all of this is unquestionably true, as will become evident to anyone who objectively looks at it. But it doesn't matter if it's true, if no one or not enough of us act on it. Again, remember, paper means nothing. Ideas mean nothing. Deeds mean everything. Back in the 1980s, a patriot using the nom de guerre James O. Pace wrote a book in which he proposed to reverse America's decline and restore her to good government through a constitutional amendment. He called his proposed amendment the Pace Amendment, and it would have restricted U.S. citizenship to whites only, just as originally intended by America's founders. Revelo P. Oliver wrote of it at the time, quote, "By far the best and most cogent of the proposals that I have seen is the work of a practicing lawyer in the city that is still called New York, James O. Pace, whose amendment to the Constitution averting the decline and fall of America is published by Johnson, Pace, Simmons, and Fennell in Sunland, California. The first 91 pages are a sagacious and comprehensive survey of the present plight of the American people, with a reasoned indication of the only means of escape still open to them without a real civil war. That unique means is a restoration of the Republic by strictly limiting citizenship to members of our race, the European race. There is nothing in this first section to which one of us could object, although we may wish to change the emphasis in a few details here and there. The author's proposition commands unqualified assent. The requisite limitation of citizenship is to be obtained by enacting an amendment to the Constitution, and the amendment is to be proposed by a constitutional convention, summoned at the behest of the legislatures of at least 2/3 of the states, and is to be ratified by the legislatures of 3/4 of the states, or if necessary, by specially called conventions in those states. Mr. Pace has drawn up the text of the amendment and shown in detail why each provision of the amendment is politically sound, and has illustrated the whole process by which the amendment will be enacted and save the American people from the deadly trap into which they thoughtlessly put themselves. And all this, please note, will be done with strict adherence to the Constitution and by entirely constitutional and legal procedures. This is a splendid plan, and I endorse it wholeheartedly. Mr. Pace has, in his 179 pages, documented with a lawyer's thoroughness, given us everything we need to restore the American Republic, even the text of the amendment that will resurrect it. The only thing that he has not fully explained is the conduct of the elections that will be necessary at some stage preliminary to the triumphal recovery of our liberty and independence. It may be consideration of the procedure at this stage was omitted because it is so obvious that it may be taken for granted. Some of my readers, however, may be puzzled by the omission, especially when they reflect that all of us rightists have been and now are totally unable to elect even one avowed racist to the federal Senate, or to the House of Representatives, or to the legislature of any state, or, so far as I know, even to the Board of Supervisors of any county, or to the municipal government of a small town. We have not even had the power to keep in the Senate or House such men as Senators Percy and Aberesk and Congressman Findley, men who certainly never knowingly nodded to a racist, but did have the audacity to suggest that the lowly American boobs might have some interests apart from humbly serving God's chosen pirates. The Jews, of course, not only promptly muzzled the obstreperous dogs, but did so quite openly to teach a lesson to other Aryan curs who might be tempted to whine in their master's presence. And what is more, the boobs seemed quite content to see their would-be champions muzzled. I can see that readers who take those facts into account may not understand how Mr. Pace's splendid amendment is to be enacted. So, for their benefit, I will outline in confidence the obviously necessary and indispensable procedure. 1. At the strategic time, guided missiles will be launched from the subterranean silos that so many Americans secretly maintain beneath grapevines and rose bushes. The missiles will be directed at Washington and New York and equipped with warheads that are hydrogen bombs, in sufficient number totally to obliterate the two enemy citadels. It is unfortunately true that the annihilation of those cities will sacrifice some valuable lives and precious works of art, but the sacrifice must be made, since surprise is absolutely requisite for success of the strategy. 2. Simultaneously, at least 2,000 of the MBT-70 tanks that so many neo-Nazis now keep in the back of the garage or Junior's playhouse will be manned and proceed at once to occupy all centers of communication throughout the nation, covered by both pursuit planes and medium-sized bombers. 3. Battalions of shock troops, perhaps 50,000 select stormtroopers from the National Socialists in Arlington and the Aryan nations would suffice, if properly trained and equipped, will simultaneously act to maintain order and prepare for elections to be held in sequence in the various communities through which they move, thus obviating the need for large numbers of men to supervise elections on the same day throughout the country. 4. At the election, polls will be surrounded by detachments of stormtroopers who will make certain that only members of our race are admitted to vote. Election judges, equipped with submachine guns, will reason with protesters. 5. With elections thus properly conducted, the ratification of the Great Amendment should proceed smoothly, and we should recover our lost country and our lost self-respect. Close quote. Oliver's sarcasm may seem unkind to some, but this is an emergency, life or death situation, and so I think it was and is amply justified. Sometimes we need to be shocked out of our illusions. What the Pace Amendment folks forgot is the fact that paper means nothing. Ideas mean nothing. Deeds mean everything. We need to become men of deeds. All the greatness of German National Socialist philosophy and law would have been nothing without Adolf Hitler's inspiration of millions of men and women of deeds to put them into practice. We need to become men of deeds. That is not to disparage men of ideas, men of art, men of techniques, women of all virtues, or any of the other absolutely necessary components of our new society. As Mr. Cole says, paper means nothing. But we should, when being thorough, add the qualifier by itself. We do need laws. We do need books. We should also add the qualifier to the second line. Ideas mean nothing by themselves. But we do need ideas, and only the right ones. Men of deeds, indeed, are themselves worthless or harmful if imbued with the wrong ideas. The criminals who serve the regime in Washington are men of deeds too, you know. Mr. Cole's statement is poetic truth, but poetic truth needs exposition. Of course, we National Alliance members know that legalism based on the U.S. Constitution, even should tens or hundreds of thousands of men of deeds act on it and crush the regime in Washington, is not enough. Not at all. The founding fathers of the United States, great and necessary as their accomplishments were for their time, and to set the stage for our future, did not have the full understanding that we in the National Alliance now possess. We need to be men of deeds who make the National Alliance into an organization that will still be here 100 and 1,000 years from now. We need to be men of deeds to make the National Alliance into an organization that gives birth to new governments, new federations of governments, a new people, and a new civilization that can transcend the bounds of earth and time. We need a political, philosophical, and spiritual revolution that will put the America of the future, the white federation and white civilization of the future, on a far more solid footing than we've ever had in the past. Building on the true ideals of our forefathers and the revolutionary ideas of great men like Hitler, Rockwell, Simpson, Oliver, and Pierce, we will raise up new generations and a new society that will astonish the world. We will build a society the very purpose of which is to advance our race ever higher and to secure its existence eternally. Nothing less will do. And we will do it. Our men of the deed are already here, finding out about, joining, and building the alliance into the unstoppable force that will shape the future of our race, of our planet, and of all life in the universe.
You're listening to Resolution Radio, Radio, Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. We know not the meaning of the word mine, it is ours. Our race, the totality of our people, 10 hearts, one beat. 100 hearts, one beat. 10,000 hearts, one beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow. The flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the Alliance, then you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like men and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look towards the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
I believe in race. I'm not ashamed to admit it at all. And that doesn't mean one bit that I'm out to persecute or hurt any man because of his race. He can't help what race he is. We believe that each race has particular geniuses and particular faults. The white race has built white Western civilization, and we think the white race should dominate in that area. National socialism, fundamentally, is the application of science not only to inanimate objects and animals, but to mankind himself. We believe that the communists, the Marxists, have one fatal error in their doctrine, a place where absolutely there's a hole and there's no explanation for it. They admit evolution. They admit that animals vary by breed and that you can breed better and worse animals. Now, how do they explain how there is a sudden dividing line when you come to one particular animal called man? They have no explanation. Time and again, when I've asked them, they have no explanation. They just say, if it's got two legs and it stands on its hind feet, then it suddenly becomes a special being and there is absolute equality. They're all the same. Man is an animal just like all the rest of the animals. He's more intelligent, but he must obey nature's laws. And that insofar as he is an animal, he must obey the laws that pertain to animals. We say that when the white race has produced such a wonderful thing as Western civilization, we should treasure the people that have produced that and can maintain it. And we should not mix them all up with other kind of civilizations, whether or not they're good. We should certainly try to preserve it just the way the farmer preserves his better grade of stock. We are also, socially speaking, tribalists. You must live as social beings. You have to live with other people. And this is impossible unless you observe certain fundamental laws of the tribe, the ancient Indian tribe, any kind of tribe of people, even a wolf pack, has got to have certain fundamental things. One of these things is leadership. Not leadership by the most popular, but by the strongest and the best. Any tribe or Indian tribe or any group or family should be led by the best and the strongest. Otherwise, it disintegrates. It's got to have group pride and loyalty. You've got to have selection in the mating process, something that we have almost lost now. We believe that it is of fundamental importance to society that the strongest, cleverest, and the best of the men mate with the best type of women who will make good mothers. And when you destroy that machinery, you get what we have now. We believe that you have got to have an organic society. Now, by an organic society, we mean a society, not a dictatorship, but a society in which the parts of the society cooperate together in different functions and in peace and harmony, just the way your body works. Cancer is the wild, uncontrolled growth of cells at the expense of all the rest of the body, and that's what you have in Washington, D.C. right now. Cancer. We believe in private property and free enterprise. It is impossible, we believe, to have a society in which there is any real work going on unless people can get the reward of their effort. And at the same time, we believe you've got to have social justice. You cannot have people who are exploiting and squeezing little helpless people economically. And this is where I get in trouble with the conservatives, because most of today's conservatives, I've discovered, are reactionaries. They're real anxious to hold on to their money. They don't care how they have to figure it out. They just want those money bags. And they come up with any kind of rationale to keep it. Every national socialist believes in idealism, believes in something that is worth more than his own one single human life. He's willing to die for something. When you're ready to die for something, then you're alive. And until you are ready to die for something, you have no real fanaticism. And just at dinner a little while ago with some of the fellows there, they said, were telling me, well, it's terrible to be a fanatic. Well, did you ever stop and think how this country got here? How all the great inventions ever got there? Any one of you out there that is not a fanatic on something or other, whatever it is you're studying, if you're going to be a doctor, be a fanatical doctor. Otherwise, you'll be nothing. You'll just be an ordinary old chug-chugging guy, and when you die, nobody will notice it. But if you're a fanatic, you'll produce something great. You'll create. Creativity is fanaticism. Every creative genius has had to be a fanatic. Many of them have been burned at the stake. So we are ideological and idealistic fanatics. Just like the communists, by the way. In between the Nazis and the communists is the great mass of non-fanatics. The TV watchers and the comic book readers. I will say this. National socialism is the inevitable end product, logically, of evolution. If you believe in evolution, you've got to be a Nazi if you think about it long enough. You can't help it. But what happens is people short-circuit it. The minute they believe in evolution and scientific breeding until they come to that two-legged animal that stands up on its hind legs, then all the rules are up. We say that's not possible. You either believe in the scientific method and the truth, and you apply it to yourself without egotism, or else you don't believe in the scientific method and you're kidding yourself. Nazis believe in ruthless application of the truth, not only to inanimate matter and animals, but to you animals. People, all of us, are the same insofar as we are animals and must survive and live as animals. And unless we breed ourselves better, we're going to get worse. That's what's happening. I do worship nature in that I'm humble. When I see the mighty, awesome power of nature, and believe me, I've seen some terrific power of nature, the typhoons off Japan during the war, earthquakes. I've been through some tremendous cataclysms on this earth. And compared to them, the atomic bomb is like a firecracker. Nothing. And when you start to think of the enormity of space, our spacemen are just going around at the very bottom levels of space. They're no place yet. There are over 100 million planets where life, just like here, could exist. And in the face of that awesome probability, not possibility, probability, I say it's ridiculous to be egocentric and say we are the center of all things. Everything turns around us. We Nazis are humble. When I look at nature and realize how ignorant and small and feeble and weak and little we are, Nazism is a philosophy of nature, a way of looking at the world. And as I've pointed out, we believe in tribalism. We don't think we're above that. We think that you've got to have pride in your family, pride in your race, pride in your nation. That's not something to laugh at. Patriotism and pride in family and pride in race is something we should be proud of and cultivate, work on, not get rid of. Finally, we believe in morals. We believe in the traditions of goodness, virtue. Now, I told you something about what we are, but I'll do as good as I can in telling you what I think our enemies are. And our enemies, make no mistake about it, are the Marxists. The philosophy of Marxism, I believe, is the enemy of all humanity. It's the reverse of humanity. We say communism itself is the most vicious, anti-social doctrine the world has ever known, and here's why. They completely deny the very basis on which any human order can exist at all. Without humans, or at least without civilized humans, you certainly can't have human order. And the communists say they don't believe in race. They believe in absolute equality. The pygmies, the aborigines of Australia, everybody. Send them, let them all come to Carlton, and they'll all write arias and books. And the cannibals will be producing the music and verses. That's all you have to do is educate them. And this simply is not true. This results in chaos, social chaos, which is what we have now. They don't believe in enterprise. They don't believe that people should work for themselves. They believe that the state should come and tell them what to do. They don't believe in private property. They don't believe that you can keep the fruits of your production. They don't have, above all, they have no spiritual ideal. We say the only thing that's worth protecting with your life is ideals and your family, your race, and your nation. And twice in my lifetime, I've been called upon to go out and risk getting killed. And I saw a lot of other young men doing this. Young fanatics that they made out of it, by the way. They made us real fanatic haters of the Germans and fanatic haters of the Japanese. Nobody protested that that was bad to be a fanatic when we were fighting those Japs, and I assure you, we all were. Finally, the communists, if you remember when they first got in power in Russia, they are against morals. They had free love, no morals at all, everything was have a butt. And the result was they almost tore Russia to pieces. They just fell apart. Now, if you'll notice, they are almost puritanical in Russia. In order to make the thing work, they've had to go back to the very principles of tribalism which we're advocating. You can't work society with a communist pipe dream. Civilization is based on self-sacrifice, on the willingness of men to go out and die for what they believe in. When you get rid of that self-sacrifice, you get anarchy. Civilization is built because I am willing to give up something for my family. And the family is willing to give up something in order to have the town succeed. And the town is willing to give up something so the state can be in business. And the state is willing to give up something so the nation can succeed. Self-sacrifice is the first principle of civilization. Communism has got the fanaticism to destroy you, and it's doing it. And unless you can build up a counter-fanaticism for something you believe in positively, you will be destroyed. You are being destroyed.
Recently, there was a report out that among new babies that were born, this happened last year, minorities were now the majority, that whites were officially the minority.
And they're boasting about it. Khrushchev just said, America's so liberal, they'll never fight. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, but we're going to change that. Won't be quite so liberal. After we've had a chance to make America understand what it is and make it conscious of itself and its greatness and its people and the white race understand that they're worthy of protecting themselves. That they don't have to keep humbling and downgrading themselves while other races are standing up and saying, look at us, how great we are. We keep saying we're ashamed of ourselves for being white. That's a terrible thing. The thing for the for each race to do is be proud of itself. And the white people and the good people of this country, when they finally realize that they can do that without hurting or being obnoxious to anybody else, they will finally become fanatics to survive, to keep this great country going.